Dhamma for today is called the Punya Kiriya Vattu. Vattu means the something like substance, or here the means. Kiriya for doing, Punya, the means for performing Punya. The word Punya is probably the most well-known teaching in the Buddha, in the Theravada Buddhist world. It's the most popular teaching, most common teaching that you find throughout the Theravada Buddhist world. It's a teaching that is very much appreciated by both the teachers and the audience. Punya means something like goodness. It's often paired with papa, which means evil. So punya and papa. Papa means evil, punya is the opposite of that. And it's popular because our attention is, as human beings, is most normally fixated on worldly affairs, worldly benefits. So punya, goodness, is touted as something that is for the betterment of society and for the betterment of the individual. Goodness is a way of maintaining order in society. If people are intent upon evil, society collapses. With the focus on goodness, society flourishes in harmony and in peace. I mean, there's good reason. There's nothing to criticize here. This isn't a wrong view. And the other reason why there's much excitement and interest in punya is for the individual, because punya is something that brings happiness. The Buddha said this in many different ways. He said if someone does goodness, they should do it again and again. Punapunang, they should always be performing goodness. He said that goodness is another word for happiness. Sukaseitang bhikkhave adivacchanang yadidang punyani. Goodness is just another word for happiness. In other words, goodness is what leads to happiness. Happiness doesn't lead to happiness. This might seem obvious, but if you look at our behavior, we often seem to think that happiness leads to happiness. If you seek out happiness, that will lead to your long-term happiness. And in fact, that's not the case. If instead you're intent upon goodness, goodness is what leads to happiness. If you forget about happiness and don't worry about being happy, do goodness even if it's accompanied by stress or distress, over time the goodness will bring happiness for many reasons, because of the changes in the world around you and because of the changes in your mind. The Buddha said goodness is something that is a certainty or a surety for the future lives. Paraloka, he said, goodness that you perform, good deeds that you do, good karma has a benefit not only in this life but in future lives. And it's the surest way to find happiness in future lives as well. But from a Buddhist perspective, this of course isn't enough. Buddhism isn't satisfied. The Buddha wasn't satisfied in teaching people how to create a just and peaceful society. He wasn't content on helping people find happiness in the future lives. He wasn't interested in that because he saw the disadvantages and the limitations in those things. And so the deepest meaning of punya actually comes from the word punati. Punati means one cleanses. So one's deeds, santanang punati visuddhi, punati sudeti punya, sudetiti punyam. It cleanses, it purifies, therefore, for this reason, it is called punya. So, goodness is really goodness because of its effect on the mind. Obviously, the goodness isn't in the actual deeds that you perform, it's in the state of mind when you perform them, because this cleanses the mind, or this is a pure mind. And this creates habit of purity. It creates the base for the practice of meditation or mindfulness leading to enlightenment. In order to see clearly, your mind has to be at peace, your mind has to be calm, your mind has to be focused. In order for that to happen, your mind has to be pure. If we're not careful and fastidious in the performance of goodness, of course our mind will incline towards unwholesome states, which disturb and disrupt our practice. So the best reason for goodness, for performing good deeds, is for the purification of the mind, obviously. From a Buddhist perspective, this should be pretty clear. So the Punya Kriya Vatu, there's three of them. And these three are actually something we've gone over already. This is again a very common teaching, something you'll find anywhere you go, you'll hear people teaching about these three, the Punya Kriya Vatu. Dana, charity, or giving. Sila, ethics or morality, and bhavana, mental development. And we've been through these before. Dana can be of many different kinds. Dana, you give amisa dana, you give dhamma dana. Amisa dana means physical objects. You give food. Much of our life as Buddhists is involved in this process of giving physical offerings to monks and sharing sharing physical materials. So monks are the receivers. Lay people come to the monastery and give to the monks. This is a very common Buddhist practice, day in and day out. Of course, deeper is giving the Dhamma. The monks in return give the teaching of the Buddha. Meditators, whether they be monks or lay people, give up themselves to the practice of meditation. Giving the Dhamma is dana. Sharing it with others and cultivating it for oneself. Sila, there's four kinds of sila. Sila by keeping the rules of the monks or the rules of the lay people. Sila by guarding the senses, the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, the mind, keeping the mind from away from the defilements. Having right livelihood and reflecting on the use of requisites. So the way we live our lives as lay people, whether we live ethically, whether we have a job that is free from the need to lie or cheat or steal or kill or harm others in any way. As monks, whether we are faultless, blameless in our conduct, free from begging, free from manipulating, free from antagonizing or being burdensome to the lay people. And reflecting on the requisites, the things that we use, why do we use them? Reflecting on the purpose of the things that we use and being ensuring that we use them for that purpose. Not to eat too much, not to have, not to be obsessed with beautiful robes or a nice place to stay or nice comfortable bedding. And not to be obsessed with medicine, using excessive or overly appealing medicines, taking medicine just because we like the taste or that sort of thing. So this is sila, something we've already gone over. Bhavana, we've been over many times and we are clear. There are two kinds of bhavana, samatha bhavana and vipassana bhavana. Samatha bhavana, you focus on a concept, one object, and you create the vision or the image of something or the concept of something in your mind, and you fix and you focus on that. And you enter into the jhanas and your mind becomes peaceful and calm. Vipassana meditation, you focus on ultimate reality or ordinary experience, and you see the three characteristics. You see impermanent, suffering, and non-self, and you enter into a state of concentration, something like jhana as well, but based on seeing the three characteristics. When you see impermanence, then you don't chase after things thinking they are stable. When you see suffering, you don't chase after things thinking that they are going to satisfy you. When you see non-self, you don't chase after things thinking it's me, it's mine, or it has substance or self, or it is me or is mine. So these three are the three punya kriya vattu, but there actually is another teaching on the 10 punya kriya vattu. So the reason for bringing that up is to point out that obviously there are many different ways to perform goodness, and in Buddhism our practice is much deeper than just these three things. The other ones are apachayana, means humility. So paying respect to the Buddha, honoring the Buddha, paying respect to senior monks, lay people paying respect to monks, that sort of thing. Paying respect to our elders, that sort of thing. Giving respect and having humility is punya. The Buddha said this. Vayavacchakara means helping others to do good deeds. Helping other people to practice meditation is a good deed. If other people are giving gifts, helping them, facilitating them, making it easy for them. Even the monks going on alms round is a kind of helping people to do good deeds. People sometimes aren't able to come to the monastery. And so going on alms round is a way of facilitating the performance of good deeds. Dedicating merit, patidhanamaya, dedicating our good deeds to others. When we give an offering to the monks and then we dedicate it to our relatives, when we practice meditation, when we pay homage to the Buddha, at the end of the evening chanting, we say, idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. May this goodness that I have performed here be for the benefit of all of my relatives. So out of respect and appreciation and gratitude for our parents and our relatives, we dedicate all of our goodness to them as well, and even dedicating it to all beings when we say sabbe satta sukita huntu, may all beings be happy. And there's many dedications, dedicating it to the angels who guard the monastery, that sort of thing. We do many, many chants like this as a means of performing punya, goodness, and helping to purify our minds. Likewise, appreciating the good deeds. If someone dedicates goodness to you and then you appreciate it. There was an old story of Anuruddha in a past life. He did something very special, giving his only food, his one daily meal as a very poor person to a Pacheka Buddha. And these rich people heard about this and said they want to buy his merit. And he wasn't sure, if they buy it, then does he lose all the goodness that he performed? And so he went and asked the Pacheka Buddha. He said, this goodness that I did for you, someone wants to buy it from me. If they buy it, will I lose all the goodness that I performed? And the Pacheka Buddha said, if someone appreciates your goodness, it's just like you took a candle and lit their candle, and they had an unlit candle and you lit their candle. You don't lose your flame. You get more. It's more goodness to share in the goodness of others. Even just the appreciation when you see someone else doing good deeds and you say anumodana, I appreciate, anumodami, I appreciate the goodness that you performed. This in and of itself is goodness. Even if you don't have the opportunity to get involved with various types of goodness, when you appreciate that of others, of course, because this also helps to purify the mind. Listening to the Dhamma, Dhamma Savana, listening to anything that comes from the Buddha's teaching, listening with a pure mind, listening with attention, listening with mindfulness. This is punya, of course. A good way to help to purify our views and doubts and that sort of thing. Also a good way to challenge ourselves. Sometimes you have to listen to the Dhamma for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, even an hour. the patience, of course, is a valuable quality to cultivate. Listening to the Dhamma can be a very good meditation exercise, because you're not able to move, because you're under surveillance from the teacher and from everyone else. Sometimes it can be very good in helping to be an opportunity to practice mindfulness. Teaching the Dhamma, Dhamma Desana, teaching the Dhamma is goodness, of course. They say the best way to learn something is to teach it. It's not really probably true in terms of Buddhism, but teaching does help you to remember the teaching and to be dedicated to the teaching. You're able to check your own self when you teach. You're not just teaching for the benefit of the audience, you're also reminding yourself every time you teach about the importance of these things. It keeps you surrounded by people who understand the Dhamma. Teaching the Dhamma is also a very good thing. And how many is that? Did I get through them all? 3, 5. That's 9 already, right? Yeah. So the 10th one is called Dittujukamma, which means straightening one's views. Straightening views is sort of a broad-based sort of thing. It can be through listening to the Dhamma, but I think what the Buddha is referring to here is the ultimate practice of mindfulness, to straighten out one's understanding about suffering and the cause of suffering and the cessation of suffering and the path that leads to the cessation of suffering. So he puts it at the end. I think my idea would be that it's there to remind us that out of all of these things, none of them are really the ultimate practice. None of them are on the level of the straightening of one's view through the practice of mindfulness leading to vipassana, leading to see clearly and realize the Four Noble Truths. But all in all, lots of goodness, lots of opportunities for goodness. Something that is able to encapsulate our practice and give us a broad-based methodology for cultivating the Buddha's teaching. If we think of the Buddha's teaching as goodness, we remember that it's also the abandoning of evil. Through the cultivation of goodness, we abandon evil, and the abandoning of evil is goodness in and of itself. The abandoning of wrong view, the cultivation of ethics, the abandoning of the hindrances, all of these things. Goodness and evil are like night, like light and dark. When you turn on a light, the darkness disappears. You can't have both of them. So as long as you're dedicated to goodness, evil can't arise. And more importantly, through the cultivation of goodness, it's for the purification of the mind. True goodness is purity. The true meaning of punya comes from cleaning, cleansing, that which cleanses one's mind. This is punya. So that's the punya kiriyavattu, that's the Dhamma for today.